The BBC presents Funeral Dance, a play by David Campton.
I like a strong cup of tea. You can do it after standing about in a windy cemetery. Tea for you, Mrs. Manister.
Oh, it's rather too strong for me.
She'll be back in a minute with the hot water.
Oh, I'll wait. A perfect funeral, I should say. Wouldn't you say a perfect funeral, Mrs. Beats?
A funeral's a funeral. The less I see of them, the better I like them.
But, I mean, it's the end, isn't it? And you want the end to be right. It's the least one can do.
I suppose it's some consolation.
Oh, it is. It's always a consolation to think that one's done one's best.
To think of a man like him going off like that. There's no justice.
It was so beautiful. All those chrysanthemums and lilies. I was deeply moved. The organ and everything. I cried. I don't mind telling you. I cried.
But it's her I'm sorry for. I know what it's like. I remember when they came to tell me about my Bert and the cattle truck. Remember it like yesterday. It was a wash day. And at that minute finished wringing his overalls. I just stood there, dripping all over the kitchen floor. At first I thought, this can't happen. But it did. Then I thought the world was coming to an end. But it didn't. You learn to take things as they come. Ham sandwiches and tongue sandwiches. Now there's consideration for you.
Nothing but the best was ever good enough for either. We go to the same butcher. Always the best.
Ham or tongue, Mrs. Manister?
Well, I was wondering about another cup of tea.
Better wait for the hot water.
Of course. It's all very sad. She's a long time in the kitchen.
You don't expect her to rush about this afternoon.
Oh, I was wondering if she needed help.
Leave her. There's some things you have to do for yourself. Finding your own feet is one of them.
She's young to be left a widow. How old would you say she is, Mrs. Beats? 50? I never heard her mention it. No, she doesn't look over 50, except in black, of course. Black ages one so, doesn't it? Worry too, of course, and grief. Well, one does need the figure for black. But it was a perfect funeral.
The kettle must have been feeling lazy, too. It just wouldn't boil.
Oh, well, there.
I should have drawn the curtains back. There. It's all over now.
He was a good man, Ida.
Pity there aren't more like him.
Respected is the word. Respected. I was down there in the shop only last Tuesday. He was nipping up to those top shelves as lively as a cricket. He was always so lively. Little did he know.
Have you other sandwich, Mrs. Manister? Or there's some fruit cake.
I feel lazy this afternoon, my dear, he said. I'll take it easy for half an hour. He sat back in his chair and went off like a lamb. That's all there was to it.
Poor dear Edward.
We'd been together for 30 years.
30 years?
We moved into this shop 30 years ago next November.
He'll be missed.
It seems hardly more than a few months.
Time flies when you get older. Did you say fruit cake?
Cherry Genoa.
I mean, it couldn't not be missed. Well, if there's a slice a bit smaller than the others. Oh, he was respected.
It means something, you know. Blinds down and a crowded cemetery.
Strange when you come to think of it, because neither of us had what you might call relations here, only each other.
You've got friends, Ida. Don't you forget that. You've got friends. Will the pot stand any more water?
We came to this town without knowing a soul, till we opened the shop.
I noticed a lot of strangers there.
Folk he'd never even known, except to sell a packet of tea to.
That woman now.
Woman?
Oh, well, you wouldn't notice, but the look on her face as if she was enjoying herself.
Everybody has different ways. I've known them cry at weddings.
And made up to kill.
It takes all sorts.
You'd wonder what a woman like that would be doing at a funeral.
Unless she was doing the same as the rest of us.
But you can't imagine a woman like that knowing Edward.
He was a well-known man. He took Sunday school for 15 years, never missed a Sunday. And he had a large circle of friends.
But after all, a woman like that... Is that someone downstairs?
Is it?
At the front door.
There.
Really? They ought to know better.
Well, go down.
You sit where you are. If it's anybody who knows you, they'll come round to the back. And if it's not, they don't matter.
They must be wanting something or they wouldn't be knocking.
I'll go then.
No, Elsie. I'll have to get used to answering the door for myself. Coming.
Independent. She's been independent as long as I've known her.
They ought to know the shop's shut, whoever it is.
She's taking it hard.
They ought to show respect.
I wonder what she'll do about the shop.
Well, carry on as usual.
It's a big shop for one person to handle, especially if they're not strong. It's a pity they never had children. Children are so important. She wouldn't feel so alone if they'd had children. Besides, they would have helped with the shop.
Who?
The children. If they'd had... Listen.
What?
She's coming up again. With someone else.
Hello. Company.
Oh,
of course. After the earth, the ham sandwiches.
Won't you sit down? The tea can't be very hot.
Pity. If I'd known, I'd have called sooner. That's right, ladies. Take a good look. You'll know me again next time.
These are my friends. Mrs. Beats, Mrs. Manister.
How do you do?
Pleased, I'm sure.
I'm Mrs. Hartshorne.
Mrs.
Mildred Hartshorne, relative of the deceased.
Distant?
Oh, very. I knew Ida as well years ago. She was Ida Prentice then.
That must be over 30 years ago.
Yeah, it must be. Have a nice funeral.
Princely, that's the word. Quite princely.
Went out in style, all right. Ted always was fond of flowers, wasn't he?
The spray of lilies was from the Sunday school. Edward would have appreciated them.
Pity he didn't have the chance.
We thought a lot of him, Mrs. Hartshorne.
So did I, Mrs.
Beats.
Why else should I drag myself 200 miles to his funeral?
You didn't let me know you were coming.
Oh, so that's why the red carpet isn't out.
200 miles?
200 miles is a long way.
Second-class single. You'd get a sizable wreath for the price of that, with lilies.
Single, you said?
I said single.
You're staying the night?
Is that a question or an answer?
Mr. Hartshorne never mentioned any relations.
A funeral always brings them out, like flies round the jam. We were only connected by marriage.
Yet you came all this way to the funeral.
Touching, isn't it? I wanted to see him put away properly. It was a handsome funeral.
Princely, I said. Quite princely.
I thought so too. In fact, I couldn't help wondering what he'd done to deserve it.
Then you couldn't have known him very well.
Well enough.
Look, I don't know who you are.
There. And I thought we'd been introduced.
But I can see you're upsetting, Ida.
Oh, for crying out. Look, ladies, I know we're all going to be great friends, but for the next minute or so, I'm going to be saying things that I'm sure Ida wouldn't want you to overhear.
Whatever this lady has to say to me can't take long. If you want to be private, come into the kitchen. We can talk there.
Oh, no, don't let us drive you out. We can retire to the kitchen.
Yes, we'll be doing the washing up.
Yes, the washing up.
Don't forget the sandwiches. You can finish them in the kitchen.
I'll be all right, Elsie.
We'll only be next door. If you should want us, just call.
Don't worry. I shan't run wild.
Come on, Mrs. Manister.
Well, if you're sure you want us to go,
I'd better hear what Mrs. Hartshorne has to say.
That's right. Oh, I'm sure the other Mrs. Hartshorne is going to tell you all about our little chat, so there'll be no need for you to listen at the door. Well, shall we sit down again? It looks more friendly than standing, and you always wear one for appearances. This is a comfy chair.
It was Edward's.
So, you knew me again. I began to wonder you cut me dead in the cemetery.
I couldn't believe
that it was me. Well, don't say I've changed all that much.
You're older.
Well, 30 years makes a difference. You've done well on it. Hardly a grey hair. And, of course, anybody plump like you doesn't show the wrinkles.
It's been a good life. I've no regrets.
I wish I could say the same. How long will it take to do the washing up?
About 5 minutes.
Then we've got 5 minutes to come to terms.
What do you want?
Well, let's hear what you want first, and then we can ask what you'll give for it.
I've got all I want, except him.
What about his name? I've got that. Yours is still Ida Prentice, isn't it? Isn't it? He didn't go and commit bigamy on top of everything else.
It is still Ida Prentice.
That's a laugh, isn't it? Just like a bit out of a cheap magazine. No right to her wedding ring. Ida Prentice.
Are you trying to make me ashamed of it?
I couldn't. You've lived for 30 years with a man you're not married to. If you're not ashamed by now, you never will be.
Your train leaves in an hour. It's time you were going.
I haven't got yet what I came for.
You'd better go before you get more than you bargained for.
Now get off your high horse.
I'd never stand by and hear ill spoken of him while he was alive. If you think now...
He was a saint. Does that suit you? He was a saint, living in sin for 30 years.
Whose fault was that?
As you say, I was his wife.
You could have let him go.
Why should I? He was my husband. I don't part easy with what's mine.
he's suffered. Does that give you any satisfaction?
Yes.
He suffered. He was an upright man.
Pillar of the chapel.
Superintendent of the Sunday school. It was on his mind to the end.
Afraid of being found out. They wouldn't have thought much of their Sunday school superintendent if they'd known. I'll bet it was on his mind. I couldn't come any sooner. He paid me to keep away. Did you know that?
We didn't have secrets.
Oh, then you didn't mind your profits going to me.
We felt it was due to you and the boy.
Well, of course, I could have sued for regular maintenance, but the courts wouldn't have allowed so much, even counting young Teddy. The shop must do pretty well.
You needn't worry. I'll see that the payments carry on. I'd have done it anyway for his sake.
You wouldn't have done it for mine. So I had to wait till the funeral before I saw you again. Well, in a way, I'm not sorry. We're equal now.
Are you satisfied? 200 miles was a long way to come just to have your own back.
Just a... Is that what you call it? Oh, still, what are words when a kept woman calls herself a wife? I told you I'd come to talk terms. Big living room, big shop underneath. He left you comfortable.
He left everything to me.
Yeah, I thought he would.
It's all legal.
Oh, sure to be. He was a careful chap, our husband. Did you really think I'd come 200 miles just to get me own back? I've got more respect for money.
What did you come for, then?
You can't guess. When my husband's just left you this lovely house with that lovely shop underneath and that lovely garden down there and all that lovely money in the bank.
You want your share.
You're getting ahead of yourself. But think of the shock for those poor angels in the kitchen when they find out what's been going on all these years. Miss Prentice.
You couldn't wait. You couldn't wait even a decent while. You had to come today.
Don't try to play on my sympathy. I don't know what sympathy is.
It's a wonder you could wait until the service was over. There's not a human feeling in you.
You can't tell me a thing about myself I don't already know. Try.
Don't tempt me.
Go on, throw the lot at me. I was a bad wife, a lousy mother. I was a slut.
Have you carried that around with you all your life?
That's me. You make it worse if you can.
I'm sorry for you.
I'm a bitch. But a man ought to leave something to his wife, even if she is a bitch. That's the law. I mean, I could contest the will.
No.
I've had advice. I could make a case of it.
I told you the allowance would be kept up.
I'm not bothered about the allowance.
You didn't come all this way for nothing.
Well, I hope I didn't.
What do you want, then?
I want to stay here.
Tonight?
And all the other nights.
Meaning what?
I want to live here. With you. Permanent.
You want to come here?
That's what the lady said.
To live with me?
You're getting the idea.
You can't be right in the head.
You make a person feel real welcome, don't you?
But why? Why me?
Well, I got to thinking. You know how you do.
What am I to you?
I got to thinking that in all my life, I'd never had a home.
But you can't just take over somebody else's home. A home has to be made.
Well, I've never had a talent that way. But there's a chance for me after all, isn't there?
You had chances.
They didn't teach homemaking when I was brought up. Water came in at the tap and it went down the drain and we didn't splash it about much between the two. It wasn't the best school for a bride. But I hooked Ted without lessons and brought his boy into the world.
I didn't say there weren't excuses.
I'm not talking about excuses. I'm telling you what I'm after.
You can't have it.
Take a bet.
It's insane.
You just think so.
What made you think I'd agree?
Well, don't you?
As if I... You and me under the same roof? What kind of hell do you think that would be?
It's still no, then.
It has to be no.
Right. Then I'll call you bluff.
I mean
it. I dare you. You heard my terms. Now say you don't mind the girls knowing all about Ida Prentice.
I didn't say that.
Well, it adds up to the same. It's either one thing or the other. Well, of course, there is a third way. You could snap your fingers in my face and tell them yourself. Well, there's a choice for you. Well, go on.
You can't force me to do anything.
Like I said, I'm daring you.
Very well.
That's right. You march up to the door. Well, well, well. What are you waiting for? We won't take half a minute. And then you can say, Millie Hartshorn, go to hell.
I must have time to think.
You think too much. I'll tell you what. I'll give you a hand. You call him in and I'll break the news. You just call him in. You're taking long enough to make a move. Well, I better call him in for you.
No.
No?
No.
Was it such a mad idea of mine?
I haven't.
You have, you know. You might as well face the situation. Don't fret.
I can't believe...
Not still worried, are you? There's nothing to worry about. Oh, the gossip. Well, I'll explain to the good ladies that I'm your sister-in-law. What's a lie more or less in a good cause?
The world can't turn upside down.
It's only natural for a sister-in-law to come and live with you now that you're alone. You don't mind if I smoke, do you? After all, a house this size and you on your own.
You're a nightmare.
You don't know what a nightmare is. A nightmare is the sound of your own voice when you talk to yourself for company. A nightmare is waking up sick in the middle of the night and calling out to an empty house. A nightmare is the feeling you're going to die alone. That's what a nightmare is. I know. So, when I heard Edward was being laid to rest, I said, aye, aye, girl, here's your chance. And I took it. I'm not being left to myself any more.
I've been left?
You've got friends.
Haven't you?
Well, somehow I never learn the knack of making friends. I don't know why. You're a godsend to me.
Why me? I should have been the last. Why pick on me?
Because you're the one person in the old ruddy world who can't refuse to take me in.
How do you know?
I've tried all the others.
There's the boy. What about young Teddy?
I wouldn't talk about him if I was you.
You're his mother.
I said I wouldn't talk about him.
Wouldn't it have been more natural to go to him?
You'll be sorry if you don't shut up.
You always kept him to yourself. He never even let Edward see his own son, even knowing how he felt about the boy.
He was my son.
You've always insisted on your pound of flesh, haven't you?
He was mine. Mine!
Edward's too.
He didn't know he had a father. His father was dead, done for, a nasty word. I was the only one who ever counted with Teddy.
Then why don't you go to him now?
You little... Oh! I warned you, you shouldn't let me lose my temper. You waiting for me to say I'm sorry? Well, I shan't. If I'm coming to live here, you might as well get used to me. You haven't seen me in a bad mood yet. You just wait till you catch me with a hangover. And you needn't turn the other cheek, because I'll give way to temptation.
I said, why don't you go to him now?
Because he wishes I was dead. Ted won, blast him. In the end, he won. He forked out to let the boy go through university.
That money didn't come lightly. He did go, didn't he?
He grew out of me there. Just as he grew out of his old coat. He got his degrees, you know, with honours. They call him doctor now. He went over to America to work with atoms. He got married there. He sent me a photo of the wedding, and he writes to me regular every Christmas. I'd look ruddy bright going to America, wouldn't I? Even supposing I was asked.
Edward only wanted him to have his chance.
Well, he had it. He took it.
Did you want any more than that?
Want? I want somebody in the world to care whether I live or die. Young Teddy was the last, leaving nothing. You read about him, don't you? Lying there till the milkman wonders why nobody's taking the bottles in. Not a soul to follow the coffin. Well, that's not happening to me.
I'm sorry.
Who asked for pity?
I understand better now.
Please yourself about that.
I meant, I'm sorry. We didn't know, Edward and me, about the boy. We never heard from you.
It goes back further than that.
I suppose it does.
You know how long you were there. Well, you have time to feel sorry. You haven't got any doubts left, have you? I'm staying with you. And I'm not easy to live with. I like a cup of tea in bed. It's a long time since I had a cup of tea in bed. And I'll have my breakfast in bed on Sundays. And mine is a fire for me in winter. I don't like getting up to a cold room. I'm coming to live with you. And I'll want waiting on.
I haven't said yes.
Well, then be quick about it. You've got no perishing imagination.
Perhaps that was the trouble. I should have realised.
You can't guess what your life's going to be like if the truth leaks out.
I wasn't thinking of that.
Well, you'd better. And you needn't rely on them Job's comforters in the kitchen. They'll be away like a dose of salts. I know, I've been through it. First sign of trouble and you're on your own. And there's still our old man to think about. You wouldn't want the Sunday school boys to change their minds about him, would you?
I was thinking about you.
Well, don't trouble yourself.
We did wrong, Edward and me. We didn't realise at the time, but we did wrong.
Didn't know? Your mother should have told you.
We didn't know what we were doing to you. The time's come to make amends, both of us.
I told you to leave pity out of it. You're giving in because I've got the whip handle. That's the way I want it. That's the way I can feel safe. I'm not relying on anybody's good nature. There's too much risk that way. After all, it lost me both Teddy's father and son. Well, that's the situation. I'm on top. I was right to buy a single ticket, wasn't I? They're back again. Well, you know what you've got to do now, don't you?
I know.
Oh, don't stand there knocking.
Excuse me.
Come right in.
Well, we just wondered whether you'd forgotten anything.
Like calling you.
It's all right now, Mabel. Thank you. It's all right, Mrs. Bates.
About time, too.
They're waiting for a proclamation, Ida.
I've never been one to poke into what doesn't concern me.
Well, you ought to try it sometime.
I really ought to be going soon, Ida. The mist, you know, at this time of year. That is, if there's nothing else you want before.
Is there, Ida?
There's something I've got to tell both of you. Only it's hard to begin. Perhaps I ought to have told you long before. Anyway, Mrs. Hartshorn, Mildred, suggested you might understand better if I explained that she was my sister-in-law.
You know, all in the family, you know.
On the other hand, that would have been a lie. And I don't like telling lies.
You weren't supposed to say that.
The truth is, I'm not Ida Hartshorn.
Now, steady on.
My name's Prentice. Always has been, and I suppose always will be now. I was born with it.
I don't follow.
The one and only Mrs. Hartshorn standing over there.
But Edward...
I wasn't married to Edward.
What? Never?
Never. It's a pity I had to break the news today, but I wasn't left the option. It's hard to take in. You've just got to accept that I'm telling the truth.
That's incredible.
I made my choice. Until today, I've never regretted it. We are friends, else why should you be here now? I might have done wrong deceiving all these years. In the long run, we'll all have to live with our consciences. I only want you to remember one thing. Edward made mistakes. I'd like to see the person who never did. But you all knew him. Can a name make so much difference?
You're a flannel-mouth crawler, aren't you? He only ditched his wife and family to run away with his fancy piece. And who's to blame him as long as he makes it look all right? He can take his Bible class every Sunday so long as he pays his wife to keep out the way. You ask for trouble, my girl, and I'll see that you find it. They'll have such an earful about their sainted Edward. By the time I've finished, they'll be asking for the money back on their flowers.
You can save your breath. I don't want to know.
You speak for yourself.
I am doing. Take my advice and keep yourself to yourself. And then you won't do damage you'll be sorry for. I like Ida. Always have done. And I don't like you. I don't care what she calls herself. She's been a good friend to me for over 25 years, and neither you nor anybody else is going to blackguard her while I'm here. Understand?
There's none so blind.
The Sunday school. We must keep it from the Sunday school.
We can't. The secret's out. Everybody is left to their own conclusions. Some of them may be bitter. But that's the price.
How can we explain all these years?
I've known lads that went to his Sunday school class, and they were none the worse for Edward's teaching them. Some of them might have been better for it. He was a good man, and nobody can alter that now.
There'll be others ready to listen.
I really ought to be going.
See?
You're in a hurry all of a sudden.
The night air. Have a chest and... Goodbye, Mabel. Thank you for coming. Any time. Goodbye. I can show myself out.
Leaving the sinking ship.
Well, I've got to be going myself. I'll see you to the station, if you like.
Me?
I shouldn't like to stay in this town any longer than you have to.
Millie is staying here.
What?
For a day or two to start with. Then, maybe longer.
With you?
We're both on our own now. It's only natural.
I'm not so sure.
That's what we took so long to talk over.
But you said...
We have our differences, but that's only human.
I hope you know what you're doing.
I do, Elsie.
I'll leave you to it, then. You needn't bother to show me down, either. Well, goodbye. I suppose in that case we'll be seeing more of each other, Mrs...
Don't be surprised.
Nothing can surprise me now.
What was all that in, Ada?
I feel like a cup of tea. Would you like a cup?
Are you pulling another fast one?
I'll make up the bed in the little room. You'd rather have a room to yourself, wouldn't you?
What are you up to?
You're staying here. That's what you came for?
You're giving way.
I wouldn't say giving way.
Well, then why all that palaver, letting them know all your business?
I was taking the whip handle out of your hand, Millie. I don't like whips. There's an electric fire in the room, so you won't feel the cold.
Why bother? There's no reason why you should keep me now.
That's why you can stay. I dare say it'll be difficult to start with, but we can make allowances. We might even manage that cup of tea in the mornings. You've a lot to forgive, haven't you?
I'm not the forgiving sort.
We'll see. If you can, it might make living together that much easier. Anyway, we can try.
I'll give you a hand with that bed.
That was Funeral Dance by David Campton, with Ella Atkinson as Ida and Mary Quinn as Mildred. Production by Alfred Bradley in the North of England studios of the BBC.